can see Claudia.
She's on her way.
Tuesday, April 7th, 7:07 p.m.
Because I spoke with her today, and she said that it was critical that we got an attorney to work with the legal research on the standing resolutions of 1D.
Greg, I think you have to speak up a bit.
All right. So if we could look at these two quick resolutions. The other is that the staff group of Chair Scott, Secretary Treasurer McKay, and myself met with Bina Parikh, and who has been engaged as an independent contractor staff administrator, and with Bill Butler, and we decided that in order to pull off our grants program now, which has been much delayed, that we should concentrate, we'll need the attentions of both Bill Butler and Lena Parikh essentially for the next month or so, full time, just to take care of and getting this finally going. So with that in mind, Jack, do you have the...
I'm working on it. This computer is slowing really in.
Then let me read the two resolutions quickly so we can get beyond this. Engage Rob Waldeck, J.D., as an independent contractor. Resolve AC1D engages Rob Waldeck, J.D., as an independent contractor to research legal issues on standing of resolutions of A and C's, particularly the Great Lake Dew alcohol issues. The hourly rate is $35 an hour, not to exceed $3,000, including expenses, with an end date of 31 December 2009. Contact representing 1D is Greg Edwards, with oversight by the staff group, Angela D. Scott, Greg Edwards, and Jack McKay. While he's doing the next one, let me continue. Engage William C. Butler, MA, as an independent contractor. NC1D engages with Butler as an independent contractor to perform administrative tasks under the oversight of the 1D staff group, and the task collegially formulated. The hourly rate is between $15 and $20 an hour, not to exceed an average of 2 days a week for the period between April 7th and December 31st, 2009. Jack, would you give me
what am I looking at here, Craig?
Oh, there is a... there's an HTML file here,
yeah,
which should come up if you have a browser.
Hello.
Well, you can usually open them in the way. In the meantime, may I call on Bill Butler and Rob Waldeck to introduce themselves to the neighborhood to the commission.
Hello, Bill Butler. Any other questions? Other questions?
Hi, my name is Rob Waldeck. Lenny, you already know me. I work for the law office of Rob Waldeck PLLC. We're downtown. 717 D Street, Suite 230. As you know, I've been involved in a lot of litigation surrounding the alcohol board issues, and I got a call from Greg today asking that I possibly step in to help coordinate the effort involving the appeal of the ABC board's decision regarding one of the three establishments for whom protests were filed last year.
Although it should be pointed out that that AMCs are prohibited from by law from actually paying anyone to pursue a case. So the way the authorization resolution, which was passed about 6 months ago, stated it is that we needed help in dealing with the issues around the generally the the standing of ANCs with Flora on alcohol issues.
And I need to talk to Claudia and Rick Masumi, but assuming that, you know, my research shows this is a worthy case, which I can't imagine or not, I would then donate any representation, depending on, and the coordinating who's representing what party and the like is a big part of what we're going to do. It's going to be kind of complicated, but obviously I'm willing to do the research for the amount described and donate any. If I did the, if we did go forward and decided that I would be needed in a representational capacity, I would of course donate my time in a representational capacity. There is no problem with me donating my time if I was to engage in representation of the ANC, is there?
Well, I mean, and this is a fundamental question, I think, that we kind of went through in January. It's not so much that we can't just pay people to represent the ANC. The ANC is prohibited by law from standing. Is that right?
Yeah. Go ahead, Claudia.
Yeah, and the ANC's petition was dismissed, and instead the Greg Edwards and Jane Czar, who was sitting at the on the ANC at the time that all this happened, were substituted as individuals, individual ANC representatives. So there's nothing prohibiting.
So okay, but
they are part of the case.
For clarification's sake, Mr. Waldeck would be representing Commissioner Edwards and Ms. Czar. Not the ANC.
That makes, just coming into the case today, that makes sense to me, what you're saying. I have not been, I'm more familiar with the ABC law than I am with ANC's ability to have standing in the DC courts. And some of this was explained to me earlier today. I just got this call, like, I got an email at like 4 o'clock today, so I'm definitely playing catch up. But in other words, whatever research I could provide that would enlighten the ANC as to its abilities to enforce its decisions, I would be willing to turn over to Greg and Ms. Czar.
And could Claudia and Rick assume
that? Yeah, absolutely.
Because the information would be of use to actually not just to us, but to any ANC that's trying to deal with these cases.
Yeah. And so what I would be doing is essentially trying to figure out what your situation is as an ANC, and then that information I would be willing to turn over to the parties to the lawsuit. And I also would be willing, as part of my earlier representation in this case, I was co-counsel to three of the to the three establishments. I foresee myself being involved in the appeals process in some capacity. Representation, depending on the circumstances. I haven't spoken with Mr. Masumi. I've only spoken with Claudia and Greg, so we have to kind of coordinate everything, but I would be willing to do research and advise the ANC as to its legal status regarding great weight that's supposed to be taken into account by the ANC board in its rulings.
Claudia, you and I had a conversation where I represented to an email to the commission that this is that we really need this legal research at this point.
Unfortunately, with Masumi, have you talked to him?
Yes,
probably not. He's been very ill, and he and I were supposed to talk today, and we didn't get a chance to, but our brief is due April 28th. All of our briefs are due April 28th. It's by my calculation. So we got to get moving on this. One more note.
I see no opposition. For this, it appears that the
the formal part of this meeting is now gone after 10 minutes. Okay, I thought it was both at once. So, will I hear a second on Bill Butler?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Has the motion been read?
Yes, I read it. So, moving to the vote, all in favor? 3. Any opposed? Phil will come to oppose it, so it passes 3-1. So we are now, I believe, past the formal part of the meeting, and so we can now move on to the informal part. There is a proposal that we have several requests to have quick discussions and presentations. One is for a mural, and I would like to call on Jack McKay to introduce our themed.
Myron Vick, my neighbor, and a renowned muralist in the District of Columbia.
Well, yeah, thanks very much. We had a pretty nice presentation show, which we've been on the screen here, but evidently our equipment's not quite jiving together.
The AC isn't up to speed with the
first version. But always being in fear of that happening in those meetings, I brought a short little war of some of the works I've done around the city, which includes the new Gallatin mural, Metro Center, the old type of Douglas mural, which now no longer exists because it was covered up by a apartment building. Work we've done is for probably about 25 some year old around the city. And what had happened when I first moved into the area, this was 15 years ago, Dean Lillian had asked me if I would do a mural on the Helen's Bakery sign, which at the time had already gone through several changes and kind of lost its historical original look because it had been repainted and redone on several different levels over the years, and we almost passed that around to level 3. Also, vendors who have portfolios of much larger work than going down on the waterfront and other parts of the city. So, my intention, the group I have is the city arts, is to basically work with neighborhoods to do as much improvement to the streetscape as we feel the community would appreciate. And this being my community for over 15 years, I wasn't about to approach this even after the Zilligan, and particularly in the last year or so. Several business owners have come to me also to do a mural thing that would not only be a historical type of referencing, but also to multiculturalism in the neighborhood, but also include the colors building the way they used to really be, including the sign, so you wouldn't really actually lose the sign, it just be incorporated to a more in-depth type of more rich image. And do this with the feedback of the community. So our first intention was to get the letter of support from the Business Association and Legal College to give us a little bit of support that I garnished earlier from just people on the business of the street. But one thing I want to do is make sure I get the reaction from people in the neighborhood, not just like on the streets, but also ideas, feedback, suggestions, photographs, working the same way that public tourism does, and trying to get an in-depth look at how Mount Pleasant can be that was a very, very, very dominant feature of the neighborhood to become a more dominant and become properly with the right kind of thought and vision. So that some of the sad things that happened last year with the fires and things like that might be offset by a more textual, visual referencing of what the power of this neighborhood has to offer. And so I was basically coming here just to introduce the idea, because we've been talking about it up and down the street for the last couple of years, and I just really had contacted me almost 15 years ago now. And so at this point, I kind of want to see what the feedback was on the general idea. We work with a paint which is guaranteed to last over 100 years. All these murals I've been doing have a lifetime of at least 100 years minimum. There's special mural paints we utilize. So it wouldn't be something that would be cracking or fading. You'd never have to maintain it again. Once they go up, they stay up in terms of their visual integrity. We do neurofluid tours all the time around the city. I just did one on Sunday, and people were looking at a lot of New Hamilton. Couldn't believe it. It's been 15 years or so since I painted that. And the colors were just as vibrant, and everything else was looking just as intense as it did the day we took the scaffolding down. So the hope is to get something up which would really encompass the overall feel of the neighborhood. I mean, in terms of all the groups that come and gone, but also here, this is a very special place. This is an extremely personal neighborhood to me for the amount of time I've lived here. It's always been my home base. And as in all our other projects, we have students who we get from the neighborhood who work as apprentices, as paid apprentices, and that's part of the nonprofit we have, which is to make sure they also learn something, as well as just do the painting activity with us. So what we're hoping to do is have another meeting later on to be kind of announced, and then we could get some real feedback from as diverse a crowd as feels like they want to show up to discuss the matter at hand. So that's kind of my thing right there. Not really. You know, this is Faye is really behind this wheel, so I think even if we had to go through this work with you, we're looking at a sign which has been redone. And it's also
the cake
and the phone number and all that kind of stuff.
It's a mural.
This is a sign basically within the books. Actually, if you try to do that sign now, it wouldn't be allowed to because of the size of the seas or the city limits, the current sign. But in all these cases, we always still have everything reviewed downtown by the DCRA. One we just did over in Columbia Heights to do with the whole process of having a community doing the artwork, having it permitted in, throughout the whole channel. So
you took this up with the Business Association, did you not?
Yes, we had a letter from them which endorses and supports the creation or look into the idea of having a mural created there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And for those of us less familiar with the area, where exactly is this?
It's about 2 blocks away. It's a diagonal wall which creates a very distinct visual prominence as you walk down Pleasant Street. Really serves a more eye-catching piece of visual media to see about the history and the different time periods that are part of this neighborhood.
Signs
and things.
You mentioned that just came out the other day or coming out on Friday. I remember last year there's a movie with Russell Crowe that was filming down here. I'm pretty sure that I knew him, and I believe they're filming right outside the network.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, they did.
And that movie is coming out on Friday.
Yes, all those things got cut.
You'll be surprised. We were actually in Syriana when they were doing the movie, and they contacted us about having the new gun, and the team was running down the street.
Okay, I'll get those.
That's the cutting room floor, too. That's the unfortunate thing, get all psyched up. And
never happened.
Same thing happened over Chief Fights.
Small area.
There was one also. Chief Hikes was in one movie, though, although they called it something else, the Enemy of the State.
It happens, but sometimes you think you're going to be there and then blast into heaven about 2 years ago when Alice and his brother, the Bakers, were saying we really would like to have a mural on this wall. We just really don't think it's bringing in business. We've got all this tagging going on. We use, like I say, it will last over 100 years. We have coatings that are graffiti proof, so we don't have to worry about that aspect of it. And the initial discussion came from the owner of the building, June Moonhan, almost 12 years ago. So not the first time the idea has come up, but since I live right down on Lamont Street and walk up there on a daily basis, I'm always constantly looking at the wall and seeing it being a great canvas that would show the history of this neighborhood in, I think, a very dramatic way.
Good.
I'm curious about the community involvement. You know, what is the process that you have there? Is it one meeting, or, you know, how does that work?
Well, basically, what I like to try to do is have another meeting here where we can sit out something on the listserv and say if you have any thoughts on the process, if you have any photographs that might be relevant to what you might want to see up there, just kind of what you would, as a community, would like to see how the mural shaped. Because I have a pretty definitive style that each of these communities I go into, we always try to get something which is relevant historically or architecturally, theme-wise, to what the murals would be. As opposed to just going in and putting up a big abstract painting to know what it relates to, I like to have a mural so that everybody can really kind of like, this is, like, the Ellington piece had a lot of support because not only did his family live right there in the neighborhood, the building where the mural is where he did his first concert when he was 17 and got a quarter for it. And when the Metro sold the building where the original mural was, we had it done in concrete panels and had it stored for a year so it could come back up because the neighborhood did not want that mural to be removed more than a block or two from the neighborhood.
So, I mean, just knowing the neighborhood and how diverse it is, if you don't get enough people at the first meeting or you don't get, you know, a little bit from people, just one meeting or different
I would approaches? You know, in this case, because it is my neighborhood, I want to make sure we have at least one or two meetings where we get feedback from residents, not just the business community. We already have the support of the business community. I want to make sure that it's a wider vetting than just the immediate few blocks around it. So I'm hoping to get people who will come in and, you know, state their opinion or have ideas, particularly ideas.
You know, call people with different languages, you know, Spanish. Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to move back there? So that
I keep getting blasted. This
is getting excited.
Is this a little bit better?
Yes,
it is. Okay. So ultimately, I mean, I know you want to engage the community and get a lot of feedback, but ultimately it's the decision of the building's owner to allow you to paint?
Actually, it's her ability. If she wanted to actually just paint it white, she could have done that years ago. And because it is private property, most of the questions I'm doing right now are we're working with DDOT, we're working with the district government, and it's a much more engaged and involved process to do the large-scale public artworks we do. In this case, it's her ability, therefore, it's pretty much her call on how it's done. What we have going for us is the district government is very supportive of all the work I do, so the funding element of it is pretty much a guarantee in terms of that. It's not like we'll have to go out and try and raise money for the next couple of years. We would probably have that in hand without much of an issue because we work closely with the Deputy Mayor's office and the NIF funding and various other funding sources for doing these public artworks.
So I understand, Bill, that because it is anything that requires a permit and that has substantial impact like a large mural, it is something that the agency could address and give her a wage. So the police suggest that you may want to work with the commercial quarter of the committee of the ANC to help you guys put on some meetings.
Yeah, because what will happen if the meetings are positive and the feedback is positive, then we'll go probably to the Arts Commission, who's usually been one of our biggest supporters for all the murals we've done. They would like to see the support of the ANC or a vetting of that, as well as the one we already have in the business community. Because we want to show these days that it's not something like going on tagging on the building because we feel like doing it is like our self-expression. It's more like the community's expression. So I'm hoping that's the kind of feedback we'll get. And if we can schedule another meeting here and how soon we can do it. I'm not really sure what the schedule is. We left messages on the answer machine, but we have got any feedback in terms of scheduling. Jack really encouraged me to come to this first meeting just to kind of toss out the idea so that everybody knows this is some potential artwork coming down the pike there, and it would hopefully make a brighter, more visual Mount Pleasant. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thanks for addressing the chair.
You're welcome, chair. I think an open air meeting would be great. Mm-hmm. The weather can be iffy, but you could do something in Lamont Park, maybe, oh, which we could support.
That'd be interesting. That might even cross my line.
We've done that before.
Yeah.
It's
something
called open airing.
Okay. Yeah.
And we have two meetings.
Oh, very interesting. Very good.
Yeah, that's what we'll.
Yeah, you get some translators there. And I think the farmer's market begins May 1. Anybody here for May 2? May 1. And that just brings a lot of people in. But in the beginning, there's not so many vendors, so it might not be difficult at one end where we often have a lot of profits.
We could do it at the after that.
Yeah, or just as it closes.
Because we then we, before we got some tents as well in case of rain.
Well, that'd be very touchy for me because Hester was my roommate when she created the park. So to have something really like that would be very meaningful.
Well, I think from what I've heard about from the neighborhood in general about the idea of a new mural, I definitely want to preserve the cake aspect, and the colors cake aspect.
I think really try to see how we can incorporate that whole thing, what it is, what it was for all those years, the history of the bakery, the original owners. It's just the sign by itself and the way the cake has been repainted and moved around and the area. Plus you get the whole wall, not just, we go back to that area where the tags have gone in, we get these white squares going on, which is not very attractive. It would be a full-on reconditioning of the wall. And you definitely wouldn't want to lose an aspect of what the city has been to the neighborhood for all these years. So it's very important for me to make that one of the major parts of the design as well as the multiculturalism of our neighborhood and the various things that have gone on here over the years since the neighborhood settled.
Olivia?
Yeah, would you have some initial design, designs to show people? Usually people think about things when they start thinking.
Well, that's what we usually do with the way the Arts Commission is working of late. They wanted to see community feedback first, so we're working off some initial from the heart reaction of the neighborhood before I go and start creating designs that might force the direction into another way that will force the issue. Of the design into the neighborhood, but because of that, then I come back with the designs, and we start saying, what aspects about this do you like? What aspects do you think really play with it, or what can you just leave alone because you like the way it's done?
Uh-huh.
That we have both the community working and the artists working together to try and have something that will, because I'm not moving anywhere.
I saw Jack raise his hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I think there's an interesting point here whether this mural should be about Heller's the way the cake was, or whether it should be about Mount Pleasant. More or less, the different Mount Pleasant today as opposed to Mount Pleasant of 80 years ago. Just kind of a fundamental question to be asked.
Yeah, well, the way I do a lot of my murals is they're more of a montage type of imagery, so I can do several layers of things and the ways to get a lot of levels of information into one large piece. And that's the way they've been so successful. I hope is that they address a lot of different issues because they're not about one singular subject. They really cross the whole spectrum. And you get a little bit of everybody's interest into a good, interesting visual montage.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
I think we can move on.
Then we can move on. May I call on Jack then to introduce the next topic?
I think we just want to hear from Alberto about
his
ideas for a sidewalk cafe.
Alberto.
The background is that Alberto was talking about a sidewalk cafe permit.
Yeah,
and he called me.
Would you stand over there? So
whatever you want.
And they called me, and they seem to want ANC endorsement, and there's no doubt that at some point the AZ gets involved in the sidewalk cafe permit, because it goes to Public Space Committee.
And then we have a resolution. Yes, I know. Well, look at it. Look at it. Right now, I'm just a little concerned that even before filing an application, there's this question about a letter from the ANC endorsing the notion of a sidewalk cafe. So I'm a little puzzled about where this came from. But Alberto, now tell us what's going on.
Good evening, everybody. So my name is Alberto from the one restaurant. Yeah. We trying to get support from other neighbors and the old association, for example, here in my place, ANC, Suburban Association. We're going to do that to apply for using the public space for sidewalk, for the sidewalk cafe for number one. And they told us they don't have any problem with that, but we have to come with the support from the ANCs, I mean, and the neighbors. So our goal is, you know, bring more neighbors to downtown, and we don't have much spaces in my place. Thank God we have a big space in that corner, and we're trying to use it to bring more people, you know, dinner and the sidewalk cafe. Maybe bring some of our famous margaritas or whatever, you know, people want to time to drink it or eating. So that's why we want to let you know we're going to apply for a sidewalk cafe, and we're trying to count with your help. And our response, okay, he said he's glad to give us the support. And also, I spoke with Graviela from the Small Business Association, and also she said she will help us. So maybe here in Mount Pleasant, just for us.
Alberto, which side of your restaurant? The Mount Pleasant Street or Lamont Street?
Lamont Street. Also, we have a big space to Mount Pleasant, but we don't want to use that space, you know, because more people walking on that side, and we want to use the one in the front of Lamont. We have 23 feet from the wall to the sidewalk, but we want to use only about 9 feet, so we still have a lot of space.
Is the bus stop a problem?
We thinking about 2 months ago, you know, to apply for to ask them if it's possible they can remove it, because the bus stop used to be on the other side. But when they renovated the park, they put it on one side. And the thing is, sometimes when the people eating, they carry out. And then we turn on the exhaust. They bring all the gas, because the bus is parking next to, and that pull all the smoke gas to the car, and we can smell it. You know, that's giving me a poison for a customer. And we're not applying yet, you know, but we're thinking in the future, see if we can remove it, because we see also when the bus make it, when the 42 bus make it the U-turn, and between the parking, a lot of cars, they don't know, you know, they cannot park in front of 17 in Lamont Park, and there's a lot of car parking there. The bus cannot make a U-turn. They stop there, and a lot of people waiting for the bus for a long time in front of that one. So I plan, you know, I speak with some guy, but they did that, but we're not applying yet. And I plan, you know, to see if it's possible. If we can remove the bus from Lamont Park, I mean from downtown from Lamont, and put it on the corner of the 17th Street. Because that way, when the bus stop is at 17th Street, nobody can block the street, you know, and the bus can go right away. I mean, that's my ideas, you know, but that way we can get to port with bunches and bull, you know, because the thing is we have problems with that one, because the smoke coming through to the kitchen. And the other problem is the bus getting stuck there because the car was parking at 17th Street. They cannot make it U-turn. They have to call the tow truck, or they have to call the police, or they have to wait until the people come to move the car so they can go.
Wayne, come on. I saw your hand up. By the way, it's better for everyone. Will get to know each other better if you identify yourself with both names before you speak.
Wayne, come on. Did they give an answer on the possibility of moving the bus stop back to the park? Or is this something that the ANC needs to actually request, that it makes sense to move it away from the restaurant since it wasn't there to start with?
Actually, with the guy I speak with, He told me we had to call and go directly with the Jim Graham because he's working for the Department of Transportation. And I also respect with Terry, the guy is a fellow, I mean Jim Graham assistant, and he told me he will speak with him, but like I say, it's nothing really. I mean, now that's an idea we have, but I think they will do it. I mean, if we uniting and work together.
Claudia Schlossberg,
sorry. Alberto, I think, you know, many people have talked about having Sidewalk Cafe, that your restaurant has the space for it, and that would be helpful to the whole streetscape. I just want to say that if you, as going forward with this idea, you really do need to have to kind of deal with that bus stop at the same time. For example, if you need the ANC to pass a formal resolution and moving the bus stop as part of the plan, then you need to move that forward together. And then the other thing is, many people may know that the Department of Planning, Office of Planning, is engaged in a sort of whole streetscape kind of plan effort that the ASC is involved with and many other community groups and people, and they're planning a public meeting, I think it's April 22nd?
April 22nd at Bell Lincoln School at 7 p.m.
And it would be very important for you to come to that meeting with supporters and that this idea of Sidewalk Cafe, you know, be incorporated as part of...
When the meeting will be?
April 22nd at Bell.
Okay, that's good. Good to go. We have an April.
And Bill is
Jack McKay, sorry.
I think the Sidewalk Cafe alone would be pretty popular, be easy to do. I think moving the bus stop, moving the bus shelter, could be really hard. That's going to be hard to pull off.
John Way.
Which bus stop are you referring to?
The bus stop is right from Don Juan for the 42. Right in the mall in Mount Pleasant. We just tried to move just a half a block from the front of Down One to the corner of 17th Street.
You can use that map to show us, by the way.
Good.
You got it this right, or else.
Well, I think the bus stop is currently right here.
That's Kilborn. No, that's Kilborn. That's right here. Yeah.
And you're asking to move it to here.
Right.
Yes.
This is the 17th Street. This is Mother Road. So you want to move it to 17th Street, where right. Correct. No parking.
But then we are
going
to
right.
No, not going to happen.
It's not much room.
Not going to happen.
Well, let me say what I'm trying to do.
I mean, we are trying to do that, you know, because if we bring any like a health department. When the bus stop there, all the smoke through to the. I mean, when we open the door, the smoke coming through them, good.
Let me say what I'm trying to do in recognizing people is that new hands get recognized before people who have spoken before. And if I see no hand, then I another hand then fill it.
I think it's a great idea. I'm excited about it. I think you know, there's a lot of research out there that says that sidewalk cafes are street activating. They bring more pedestrian traffic. Pedestrian traffic drives businesses. I think it's a great thing for the neighborhood as a whole. I would honestly suggest that you consider wrapping your tables, so not just on Lamont Street, but also on Mount Pleasant Street, partly because I think you get better sun throughout the day on Mount Pleasant Street than if you were just on Lamont Street. But also because your sidewalk cafe would be more visible to the longer street than Lamont Street. Lamont Street is barely commercial. You're really, you and the cleaners are about the only, and the shoe store, about the only retail frontage in that 1.5 block area. So, I mean, I would suggest that you put whatever tables you can on the Mount Pleasant Street side, but also a view of one of the monsters.
Actually, in the Lamont Street, we have more space, and also not many people walk, you know?
I think people walking is a good thing. I think you need to get the tables out there. There's plenty of room on that sidewalk on a Pleasant Street.
Yeah, we have plenty of room there, you know? And like I say, our concern is about only because the bus stop there, you know? And sometimes they don't check out the engine and start moving.
But the thing is,
it's not much, you know, our problem. We just think, I mean, an idea. It is not only for the smoking. The only thing is we're concerning is because when the bus make a U-turn, the car parking in here, they start right there. You know? And that's why we think if we move it to here, we put the campus parking on the bus. People know it's a bus stop or that, they're never going to start. They're never going to park it like that. But, I mean, that is a solution we have, you know, can happen, but we cannot do anything about that. We're trying to help, get a help from the association for the public, for the table, for the outside commission. Because we have a place right there. Also, what we can do is, we can remove the table, not put it next to the bus stop, put it in the sizes. You know, but like I say, we have maybe for 24 tables for it.
Wow.
But maybe we want to use it for about 14.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's go to
Rob Waldeck. I would also suggest the wrapping plan, simply because you want to give whoever the decision maker is in this case some kind of like place where they could give you half of what you want. If you ask for everything, then it becomes easier for them to grant you at least half of what you want. So, normally, in a case, I would ask for everything, knowing that I'm only going to get half, and it makes it harder for them to just deny you outright.
Yes. Is your hand up?
Okay.
Then, Claudia is the least of the people who have... Excuse me. Chief, you're next.
Keep in mind about the bus stop and moving it. I know from talking to Alice, who did a sidewalk cafe at his new restaurant on 11th on Veranda, that he ran into issues because he had a bus stop right there, and you're not allowed to have a sidewalk cafe within a certain number of feet of the bus stop. I don't know what it is, but I certainly will try to help you in whatever way I can. I know that you're working with LADC, but, you know, I think you're going to get a lot of support for doing this, but you're going to have some hurdles to get through. And as I said, I don't know all the rules, but I'm certainly happy to try to help you.
I mean, our goal is, like I say, to keep in, more customers coming, people can come in there, you know. Also, we have a free wire for people can bring computers and sit right there. And I know a lot of people like, you know, sitting outside of the place, you know, enjoying the sun or the scene. But I see a lot of places, you know, example 14th Street, or here in Mount Pleasant, those gringos, they have a side cafe, and I mean, they have a small space. So we have a 23 feet wide and about 89 feet longer. So we don't have to use, you know, the whole space. Actually, if we put it right again with the windows of that one, we want to only use it for that 23 feet. I think we want to use only about 10 feet. So we have about 13 foot extra. It's plenty of space that people can walk, you know, or the... Also, like I say, we don't even need it at the bus stop place for the table.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So thank you, and I hope we wait for your reporting, and we're going to be there at the May 26th. Maybe you can go with me.
Well, we have one final question.
I would say, assume nothing. Knowing the experience, having been part of the fight that you went through on the back of your property, it looks better than it's ever looked in my entire time. But it was fought tooth and nail for years.
Yes.
So, assume nothing. Hopefully you're able to, but make sure all of the T's are crossed and your I's are dotted. And every, you know, there's going to be voices in public space that say you can't do it. And you can use part of the site. If the bus stop can move, that's a good thing, but find out where your lines are, where it is now. Because if you can use part of that Sunnyside wall. You want to do it?
I mean, we have to try, you know, and keep it trying. That happened, you know, like when we're trying to have the police pay for the real downtown. You know, this little trouble was rats, was holes everywhere. No grass, because everybody was pissing, everybody was walking on the top of the grass. Now everybody like it because it's beautiful. We have a flower, we have new grass, new ramp for people can bring the trash out. So everything is looking nice and clean. And, you know, and that's what we're trying to do on the other side too, you know, to put in some table, clean, at least use the power wash 1 or 2 times a month. You know, it looks nice and clean now, but I think if we have tables there, we want to keep more ice on the plate we're using to serve our food. Well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Let me mention that there's another issue that we have worked on.
I think we have a question.
Oh, okay.
Steve?
Sorry, I'm coming in late, but it just occurred to me that there's...
Steve Mudd.
Steve Mudd. There's been a lot of discussions about transportation issues in Pleasant. Idea that had been tossed around was to have the 44th come up 16th Street, make a left on Park, and then come down Mount Pleasant Street, and the bus depot would be then along Lamont Park on the west side of Mount Pleasant Street.
Yeah. Near where it is now?
No. It wouldn't make the wrap around. It would just come straight down Mount Pleasant Street.
There's one now.
There's the ETA. Yeah, right. ETA. Yes, 42.
And that way the bus streams wouldn't pollute the local restaurants. There'd be more open space.
Good idea. Good idea.
And indeed, the idea was that would more than double the area of the park if that part of Lamont Street were closed, except for emergency vehicles and bicycles. So, just extend things. That's something that we could talk about probably on April the 22nd. Let me also mention that. David, I got an email from David Sittler, who says that because Greg Nicholas has found the original building permits,
yes,
that there will be a hearing at the Public Space Committee on April the 15th. As a rehearing to reopen that process. At one time, that was a bitterly fought issue. There is a gate at Kenyon Street, I believe, and Mount Pleasant Street. There's a very ornate gate there. At one time, blocks both sides of the alley. Someone stole the other side, and so it's now unblocked. And the ANC passed a resolution with recommendations on how it could be maintained. If anyone is interested in this, since it was once a big fight, that's the time to show up.
Do you know the time?
He hasn't told me the time.
Okay.
April 15th. Tax day. It's the Public Space Committee. I wonder if people would like to hear a brief report as of today of where things stand on the library. That has been a big issue. Seeing no objection, and I think there are a lot of people that have been. We've had meetings up to about 100 people on it recently. I was called this morning by Jim Graham saying that he has now received confirmations from the fire marshal on a meeting that he will sponsor coming up in about 2 weeks on the library issue to assure that the rear of that area will be open for fire trucks.
Good.
By my reckoning, that area between the buildings on that block, which, Bill, could you point out the block you're nearest to that? It goes between Lamont Street and all the way down to Irving Street. There's an area there. And the smallest passageway there is 20 feet, which would allow the city to acquire an easement where fire trucks, the largest fire trucks, could go down. The ANC passed a resolution about 6 months ago recommending that and that we consider it for other issues as well. Perhaps, as Tim Benet has suggested, is now popular in many places in the city, a rear-oriented economic development and a muse could also be possible as well. Now, the second point, I've discussed it at least with two ANC commissioners. My sense is that the ANC has had sponsored many meetings on this, and it's time for Jim Graham's staff to do some of it. No laugh. So they will, I think our sense of the commission is, and please counter disabusing me of this since Dave and Phil, because I haven't had a chance to talk with you two since this morning, then this will be a meeting put up by Jim Graham. I talked with Archie Williams at the library, and he's going to look into they're putting the library and children's room once again available to that end. I got a call from the mayor's representative for Ward 1, who was appalled to hear that the library seems to be moving forward on its current design, including the ugly ramp on the south side that would
change that.
That would disturb many of the people, not only in the Mark Twain Park, but that whole residential area on the rear. And I talked with Chris Wright, who had not gotten the memo that I sent out after clearing it with the Historic Preservation Office, that indeed they support a terrace level entrance so that you don't have to have a side entrance on either side, neither Marconi Park nor the Mount Pleasant Condominium side. And it has the further advantage of then the meeting rooms would be on the ground floor, which could be isolated from the other floors. It would reduce enormously the cost of renovation. And that, therefore, we would hopefully have money that to use for the rest of the ward.
By ground floor, you mean terrace floor?
Terrace.
They use these words in,
I'm sorry.
The basement.
Old dogs.
Unfortunately.
No, it's now officially, all the fashionable buildings are now, it's called the terrace.
Okay, the basement.
Along those lines, she said that she asked me to put together a memo, a brief memo of where we stand on this, because it appears that I talked to Archie Williams, the library staff is not talking with each other, most of them have not gotten the latest information on this, and that's one reason. The one remaining problem is whether the Commission on Fine Arts would go along with that or not. It was, in fact, one of the executives in the Office of Planning and Historic Preservation Office that suggested that they close the portico and then they use the steps as for an amphitheater or other possible uses, but it would be maintained as a possibility. So the current standing on it is then I will propose this memo if the commission wishes me. It's mostly of these things that I'm saying now. The commission wishes me to circulate it first, but there's some pressing issue on it because they are going forward with it. And Jaisa said that the mayor has been personally following this, and the mayor has authorized her to call to the chief librarian to say it's time to back off on these issues. It's the mayor's representative for Ward 1.
If we have alley access on the right side of the library with paver stones or something, so that you could get firemen and or equipment in there and at least clean up the alley. It looks like a roof back there. You could put an elevator just like that one to go up half floor. So you could have a sidewalk level entrance, go up half the floor, and you'd be on the hall that everybody comes into just the way they want it. They don't want a full elevator because they need guards, they say, at every point. But here you would be on either side of the library, I don't care which side it is, you wouldn't have the handicap transiting any kind of strange ramp. They would just go in sidewalk level, and so the fire trucks follow through to the alley and go up a half floor elevator to the hallway.
That's an interesting idea, David. It appears to me that everybody's getting tired of all these meetings. We've had six or seven recently.
Oh, yes.
The ANC has held another 10 in the preceding 2 years on this.
This is my 13th.
Meeting on it. But it appears that people should come with their ideas for the meeting in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. The date is not yet set.
Good.
I was promised it would be fixed.
Good.
I hoped it would be. I asked for it to be given to me so I could announce it tonight, but it didn't.
With the fire chief. Good.
When that meeting will be. But that's our last meeting to suggest these kinds of ideas.
Good.
We also will meet the Commission on Fine Arts is an independent agency. And are they really independent? Their staff is also fairly independent. Sounds like you've been dealing with it.
Yeah.
And
with their friends.
Good. I'll only call you and talk to you about how to do this. The library said they would have no objection to an ANC representative coming to that. Something that I would volunteer to do. And so that we could meet with HBO, and hopefully they are less likely to allow a representative from Jim Grant for some reason. But because they want to keep it small. So we now have, it seems to me that the train is leaving the station, but they forgot to put the placard on where it's going to go. But we sort of know where they think it is. And we have this one last chance to do something about it in the next week or so. But all of the work that this commission and this neighborhood has done, and for that matter, many of people in the ward, for the last several years, is now, I think, about the estate. Does anyone else have any information or questions on it? I'm sorry if it's a little murky, but is that a hand? No? Guess not. You just yes.
The last plans that I saw sketched at the architect had this little enclosed garden to the west of the library. If I'm understanding correctly the presentation, the walls are enclosed, but the top is open.
Uh-huh.
That looks like it's going to present another problem.
Yes.
Right.
But it is contrary to the ANC resolution.
Are we going to address that at the same time that we address the issue of the easement and the...
I am addressing it in these meetings because as a representative, it is my duty to represent the resolutions that have been passed. For any other ideas, they should be submitted at these other meetings. So I am saying that the ANC resolution, in the interest of safety and future development, ask that easement be kept open and that be legally stabilized.
Is that something you will contact Morrell?
Yes. But one of the things that everybody wants me to do is to put together a memo compiling all of these articles. One thing that I also got from Chris Wright is he confirmed the estimate of about $12 million of net present value difference if you for the extra expense of opening a second entrance. And that's Chris Wright. That's a huge amount of money, and it's one of the reasons that they're driving so hard for some of these issues. Every single design issue has a cost, and sometimes they're very large. Any other questions? Steve Munn.
I can just say that myself and a lot of people in the Nisotoville was burning down. We're standing there at that area where they had a dumpster by the library. It just seems that a whole sort of corridor /4A space between the buildings on Mount Pleasant Street and 16th Street. And people were just saying, dumpsters in the way, it should be designed so firemen can get back in there. And as we all know, the buildings just continued to burn from the side and back, causing an aggro of the firemen were mostly in the
front. It took them about an hour and a half to get to the back.
Yes, yes.
There's still a case going on, a personnel issue. They won't talk about it because they claim there's a personnel issue and a fight going on that.
Yeah, I know about that.
Can we add one thing to this?
Let me recognize Evelyn Brewster.
Thank you. The thing that's really scary about the fire, not only did they come about an hour and a half to get to it, once they got to it, they had to bring the hoses through the Park Marconi building.
Oh.
Residents' apartments and out of the windows.
Oh, wow.
So that's how they were trying to fight the fire.
Wow.
So that tells you that there's a serious accessibility issue.
Jim Graham, also, just to say, I said, look, we've got what we really want, according to our resolution, is this easement. And it has 20 feet, so you can put a whole ladder truck through there.
Uh-huh.
A really big truck. To be able to quickly fight these fires. He said that we may be lucky even to get them just to pay attention to the law, the minimum element of the law. So, from my standpoint, now speaking my turn on this issue, is that I plead with people to show up to this meeting and demand something a lot more than whatever the minimum legal requirements are, because thousands of lives are at stake, as well as potential future for economic development in this area. Barbara Hamm.
Barbara Hamm, just clarification. This meeting with the library, I thought it was just with the firemen and maybe one ANC rep, and that was it. But you were asking for public comment at this fire, at this meeting? I'm confused. Is it a private little meeting or a public meeting?
I think there are forces that want it to be a small little meeting between an ANC rep or ANC commissioners that want to come and the bar marshal and Jim Graham's office. I know the commissioners and many people in the neighborhood are sick of this thing, but we're so close and there's so much at stake that I hope that we will push to make this an open meeting in which we can sort of have this as the finale of our presentation. But just out of curiosity, may I see the hands of people that would like to see this as a larger meeting?
The meeting with the fire.
Yes, and sponsored by Jim Graham. Since there are a lot of hands that are not up, may I see the hands of people that would prefer it not to be? So we have a lot of people that are neutral about this. Evelyn Brewster, and then Philip. Yes.
As a community, we've come together to talk about what we want to see in our library, and I think we have done great things in achieving getting the library to pay attention to us. We should all be mindful of our success. And we have seen new designs. I'm not sure we have a lot of agreement about whether we really like these new designs or not. They seem to make everybody mad in different ways than the first design. But then again, that's what public stuff is. I think what's so important, though, is that this is brought to light in a way. Sometimes the perspective on things has to change when you realize how important something is. And the fire safety issue for this back alley is, frankly, shameful on our city. That urban planners and fire department and whatnot have basically turned a blind eye to a problem in our midst. And I hope that as a community we can maintain the energy don't like about a horrible fire safety issue in the heart of our area.
Let me, Jack, give a brief summary just in case, because I think we have gotten some sensitivity, but as of yesterday afternoon at, I think, 3 o'clock, when I talked with Chris Wright, they were continuing to go forward with a plan that they presented to us with the ramp and a large addition to the back.
Oh, yes.
So they have, the only thing they listened to was not putting an addition next to the Mount Pleasant condominium. I heard from insiders that they thought that was the whole issue. They were the only ones that really had, that were fueling, their energy was fueling the whole thing, and they thought if they lobbed something off for them, for that small group, then everybody, then nobody else would be motivated to listen. I think they're wrong. So unless we move on this now, then I think, and do something substantial, then we will not have gained very much except answering one small group. Evelyn, then Jack.
I am in agreement with Bill. It's quite a view as far as the community energy is concerned. I think we've made the gains we have. We haven't won the war, but we've been winning little battles one at a time. It's because we have come together. It's because they're seeing a united Mount Pleasant. I didn't know there were so many factions in Mount Pleasant until this library issue came up, but it's really wonderful to see us get together. I would like to see this energy to continue in other projects and for us not to just forget it when the Mount Pleasant library issue is over. But I also want to say that I remember when I brought the fire issue to the meeting, Jim Graham said in his final comments that he wanted the library to bring the fire chief back to the community to talk with us about fire and medical access. So he said community. He didn't say private meeting. So I think we ought to stick with the community.
Yes.
There are too many thousands, as Greg has said, there are too many thousands of people whose lives are at stake here to have a small group making those decisions. That's playing a little bit like God, as far as I'm concerned.
Jack, okay. You got yours, okay. Jack?
Yeah, I really think that people simply weren't aware of the issue, and at this point, neither the fire marshal nor Jim Green is going to tolerate any compromise of the fire safety back there.
Good.
Now, it happens, a few weeks ago, I was down at DCRA looking for a permit to do some tree work, and they gave me hell, because I threatened to block one entrance of one alley for 1 hour. They said, if you're going to do that, the fire trucks have to get back there. You have to have a traffic control plan to block one entrance of one alley for 1 hour. And now we're talking about apartment houses. And, yeah, no access at all. I mean, it seems to me this is just a no-brainer. Now, we don't need to put a great deal of pressure to make this happen because it's obvious. This has to happen.
It seems to you, I know.
That
this is Washington, D.C.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
that's what we need.
Barbara Hayes.
Just a quick thing. We have to be careful, though, because the firemen get very macho about how they can leave tall buildings. And somebody heard, it was mentioned at the AMP meeting Saturday, the fire marshal saying, oh, we'll put out the fires the best we can. Meaning whatever obstacles are there, we'll deal with them at the time. Like, no planning.
So where were you when I was threatening to block the alley? No,
yeah. Where was that guy who would just leap over your...
That was the library guy saying that. Yeah. So we don't trust him. The library guy said that the fire keeps it.
Okay, so it is a quote, but that it originated from a macho fireman.
No, we don't even know if that's true.
Okay.
No, let's...
Part of our rules
of order is no invidious discussion of people's character.
It seems to me that you have an ally in the fire marshal, and if I remember right, the fire marshal weighs in heavily on the plan of Mount Pleasant Street, where they need their access. Where do they send resources from to? And it has to clear, certain things have to clear through their ability to should be an ally in this issue.
There are many people that are silent here on this issue. I wonder if some of you that are following this would be willing to tell us what your perspective is.
Byron, I know from the night that I was watching the fire happen, and I don't really know how they were affected. We're aware that a lot of things were going on the backside of the building. And the people down at Tonic have been told they were, about to be evacuated. How close to the Chicago fire, where it could have left the building, even faster if they had no clear access back there, which they may have didn't have from sounds. This was the first I've really been hearing that they didn't have the easier egress into the back side of the building, would have gotten things a lot faster. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that if you have something that's an obstacle, or even if it's a design issue, it's going to prevent a vehicle in the entry and exit of necessary services, that has to yield to safety of people who may be living on that block. Because, in the back of our alley, at least on the wide alley, if they made it that way, it's, you can get large trucks down there. If you have something where you have initially an object that just, cannot be moved very quickly, blocking it, and people are not aware that really cannot happen. It has to be designed so something can go straight through. Then it has to be established as a fact and part of the plan.
Standard easement. I talked to the guy that designed Reston about this. I happened at the Urban Land Institute conference, a chance to talk to people in the field. And he said that standard easement is 30 feet. Fortunately, there is one building in that stretch that restricts it to 20 feet. One of the issues I ask people is that if we're serious about this as a fire safety law, that means that we have a continuing issue that we'll have to press to get the easement legally established and eventually to deal with that one blockage that constrains it by 20 feet. Part of the issue is this, just to ask people, is this something, is the lives at stake, excuse me if I plead the case, worth the ANC and the civics in the neighborhood addressing this issue on a continuing basis, because it will be a multi-year fight. It is also something that perhaps, if people agree, should be brought up on the meeting on the 22nd.
What is the meeting on the 22nd? That's the office of planning meeting?
Yes. If people will allow me, I'll only give a quick. The ANC, six or seven months ago, passed a resolution asking the office of planning to work on the revitalization of Eastern Mount Pleasant. And they are coming up with a small area plan. They intend to have legislation, I believe, in August, correct me, which means that it will have to be largely formulated in June. This meeting at the end of April, roughly May 1st, leaves very little time, and this is going to be the large meeting in which everybody, this is sort of put up or shut out time.
No, I think that there's a lot going on with the Office of Planning meeting, and it is a couple of weeks out. I know we have another ANC meeting before that meeting. I wonder if there are other issues that the neighborhood wants to bring to the ANC tonight that we haven't already addressed. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you a quick update on where we are with Fiesta DC's Latino Festival coming up in September.
Where who is?
Fiesta DC. I'm sorry.
You didn't introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Pedro Aviles, and I'm here representing Fiesta DC. I'm a board member. I made it a point to come to the meeting just in case people have any questions about what our plans are. In the past 2 years, we've held a festival here in the Mount Pleasant area. We attended a meeting of the representatives of the board. The executive director of Fiesta DC attended a meeting of ANC 1A, pretty much done to inform them of our intent to move the festival to 14th Street. So they have been informed of our intentions and of our efforts to talk with representatives of the fire department, the police department, city authorities in general, to make sure that they think that it is possible to do the festival on 14th Street at this moment, given that it's not, festival is not until September. We're having some difficulty in getting the fire department, police, to give us a sense of whether they think it's doable. We are, at this moment, trying to get as much community support as we can from the neighborhood, including Mount Pleasant, because it's adjacent to the area in which we want to hold the festival. And that we are aware and conscious of the fact that there might be some spillover effects if and when we have the festival over here. So I just wanted to come over here and let you know where we are with our intentions of moving the festival to a larger, wider venue in light of the fact that I think that we've outgrown the Mount Pleasant Strip. There's some safety concerns among the boards, the members of the board of directors of the SWC, and to a certain degree that's driving our desire to move the festival to a wider venue. Yes, sir.
Well, I had read in the paper that the decision had already been made, and I think it was just the other day it was reported in the Post, so I'm surprised to hear you say that it's still kind of number one. Number two, I personally am very disappointed that this festival is being moved to 14th Street. I view 14th Street as a very sort of commercial, I love the fact that Target's there, but, Mount Pleasant is where this festival belongs. And so I hope that if it does move there, and if there's something you can do to stop it from moving, that you somehow connect it back to this neighborhood, that the parade starts and ends here or something, because, again, this is the neighborhood where this is where the culture is. I was talking for myself, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, our experience has been regarding the permit. We have no official permit, and I don't know what account you've read, because I haven't specifically read that piece of information, but you probably know those who have organized a street festival, sometimes it's not until one or two days before the festival can allow the permit from the city official. So we, at this very moment, as far as we know, the only decision that the board of directors has taken is to instruct the executive director to find an appropriate venue. That might be 14th Street, that might be something else. I mean, the possibility of coming back to Mount Pleasant is still on the table if and when the authorities consider that that's not a good place to have a festival now. I definitely hear your concern about moving it. But then again, there's some issues of safety, and I'm sure that if in fact there is a way that we can keep an element of it in Mount Pleasant, I think that's something that needs to be discussed and considered.
Small note, Ted Loza a few days ago sent me an email asking me to forward to him a resolution from one day's working with us.
Here in
Mount
Pleasant?
Yes.
Okay.
So apparently it's
externally
looking for a backup.
No, we're looking for language. We're trying not to reinvent the wheel. So more than likely what's going to happen is that the same language that has been used by this ANC is probably the one that we're going to present it to the other ANC.
I see. Thanks for the clarity.
So that's my take, because that's what Ted is in charge of doing that.
So Ted is helping you move the festival?
Well, Ted is a member of the board of directors of the ANC.
Let me call on that.
And it is not Ted. This is a board decision, so yeah. I don't want you to individualize it.
Let me call on that.
I'm concerned about that too, because
I don't know your last name.
Hinojosa?
What?
Hinojosa.
Hinojosa.
Yeah. I'm concerned about that because the truth that I love Festival of Mount Pleasant, of course. And another thing is that I really believe that it brings a lot of business for the people from the area. And I love that too. So I think that that's a really good club for the neighborhood and the business. And the truth is that it's a Mount Pleasant festival. Well, it was Mount Pleasant
so much. And I think you guys should really be congratulated on taking it from something very small and making it something that, that is a very citywide and even region-wide attraction. Personally, I don't want to say that I oppose you moving to 14th Street, but I do want to echo, I think, what is important for this neighborhood and for the sort of history and heritage of the festival, that perhaps we find a way to incorporate Mount Pleasant into the greater sort of celebration. It's the same kind of thing where the 4th of July, as far as the mall is concerned, is a month-long operation, even though the fireworks are only on one day. And so, I mean, I've witnessed the aftermath of Fiesta DC on Mount Pleasant Street, and I really have to hand it to the Department of Public Works in terms of cleaning everything up in a timely way. I know that's moving heaven and earth to get that done. Maybe 14th Street is a better venue. I think I speak for a lot of people in the neighborhood when I say, if you can't make it work on 14th Street, the commission will try and make it work here in Mount Pleasant. We want to keep you, but I don't want to hold you back, but I do want you to remember your roots and maybe set up something on Thursday and Friday leading up to that that might celebrate the culture and whatnot here.
I mean, just for a matter of a little bit of history, I mean,
excuse me, but I'll come back to you.
I'm sorry, I'll leave you a comment.
As a piece of history, the festival was in Mount Pleasant, and then when it moved to Adams Morgan, it didn't have a parade in Mount Pleasant, so they kept the two pieces connected. And this is just in terms of history.
No, I just want to say exactly what you said, is that we, although Mount Pleasant, Columbia Heights, and Adams Morgan have been traditionally the hub of the Latino community in the District of Columbia, and historically the festival has taken place in those neighborhoods. What's driving this, and I want to say this, is just that, you know, I'm personally afraid that limited space that we have here is just some sort of stampede waiting to happen. I mean, I'm lucky, you know, I think we're lucky that it hasn't happened now that we have fewer square feet in front of the building that's been burned out, that is still obstructed, specifically for the parade. So this has been driven by safety concerns, not because we're forgetting our roots. I think that that's not the case. I think that I'm hearing, you know, I think that we're open to explore ways in which we can not move completely, but somehow maintain, and I think that we need to explore this, maintain an arm, an element of the festival that takes place right on the main street of Mount Pleasant.
Yeah. We only have 30 minutes left. And since this also functions as an open forum and by resolution several years ago, we are just trying to keep this open and balanced and fair. The device that we've come up with for 5 years or so is to go around the room and ask each person if they would like to make a comment or if they have an issue. And let me start with, since it's so convenient, and he's a sitting duck, with Jack Kenny.
Quack, 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 quack. Nothing here.
Dave Bossman.
I would just like to announce on your way out, I happen to have a petition for D.C. statehood and brochures on the table. It's a citywide issue. The gun attachment to our one vote for Norton bill shows that no matter how many votes Norton gets, Congress can still screw us if we're not a state.
Well, you did cut it off.
I think enough issues have been put on the table today.
Bill Butler, I'll pass unless anybody has a question. John Wright.
I agree with the concept about statehood.
Alberto Ferrafino. I'm going to not mumble some of your names. I'm sorry. It's going to be very embarrassing. So,
yeah, I'm agree with the Columbia saying. First, I was concerned about it more that the festival for Mount Pleasant because I have a lot of friends. They say the festival was born in Mount Pleasant, and they moved to Columbia Road. Later, they moved to Pennsylvania, and now they want to take it to Alice Morgan, right? And then they know it's Columbia Heights, and now they're going to move it. What are they going to do in this part here? And Maryland, on the Potomac River. So it's, I mean, I think if it's a festival, how the roots of Mount Pleasant we have to live over here.
Okay.
I mean, that's my point.
Steve
Mudd. I was just thinking that perhaps if Fiesta DC moved out, there would be competitors. And, you know, I can't imagine Mount Pleasant not having its own vibrant festivals and other people want to do them.
Sure. So people are so hot on it, then let's show that we can do it ourselves, not wait for others to do it for us.
Or we can do it together.
Yeah, better. Is that, remember, this is for any comment on any issue that you may want to introduce. This is the open forum portion. Would you introduce yourself and make a comment?
Ms. Mitchell.
Yes. Oh, Gladys Mitchell.
I'm trying to remember that Mount Pleasant neighbors started the festival. And then I think it went to Adams Morgan, but it seems as though Mount Pleasant stopped the festival and someone else was having it down in Adams Morgan. Uh-huh. Now, why are we then concerned if we stopped having the festival and someone else picked it up, and we should say more power, or we should start back having our festival, because it did start here, no question about it.
Barbara,
any
Barbara Hayden, I live in the neighborhood. I guess my interest, abiding interest, is in Mount Pleasant Street and the commercial part, the parking part of Mount Pleasant. Because I think that the row house district in which I live will take care of itself pretty well. The time is right for the commercial part of Mount Pleasant to flower. As far as the Mount Pleasant Festival, I think we just finished a long discussion on fire safety. And if your ward and its experience is uneasy about Mount Pleasant Street, physically, spatially, safety, we have to honor that. Mm-hmm. And keep a smaller splinter festival here. I love the dancing, you know, just have the dancing here.
There's
some
food.
Yeah, some of the food.
One way or the other, I mean, I love the festival, and it's like, yeah, I brought in some friends from out of the city who just were amazed by it last year, and just with the dancing, everything that's going on. I know a lot of the businesses thrive on just that street presence, so I'd hate to see it leave here. I'm sure Columbia Heights could probably use a little something that makes them a little less too commercial as they are right now. And then, of course, on the project I was proposing for the Elder's Playground, I mean, that scene is a sign of progress, not something that's going to be disruptive to the street, but to actually add to the enhancement of the overall landscape of the street itself, to make the whole street a vibrant community that I know it can be. We've got a lot of things working against us with the fire that happened, and it's not just the mural, but a lot of things really need to kind of come together to get the street back on track.
My turn is to say that I think the small area plan, which will put into legislation design elements, any special considerations, will be used by the Office of Planning to replace any role we might have in the comprehensive plan. Jack and I, when we testified for the commission last Tuesday, we're told by Yvette Alexander that there are a large number of these special area plans going on, and she has had many complaints about the way that they are going in her area, and
reasons to complain about it. So I think if the ANC does not get involved, I've already been told by people in the Office of Planning that they typically ignore the agencies. And so we have a right. It's another issue that we're going to have to take up. My belief is we do not. We may end up with a Mount Pleasant that loses its diversity and its characteristic elements. And so we must take this on quite strongly. Governor Brewster.
I was going to say something very similar. When you look at some of the comments that have been made by residents, from the heart to comments that have been made by residents, a lot of them have to do with the history here, the culture here, improving business here, improving the variety of businesses. And I think that when you talk about, and I'm sorry, Pedro, when you talk about moving the festival out of here, and you're talking about a lot of businesses who have been sustained in this community, now not having access to those dollars, because those dollars will move over to 14th Street, they'll go to Target, they'll go to Lane Bryant or whatever, all of the stores over there, and they won't go to the merchants here on 14th Street. And I've been told by one or two of those merchants that festival, that day, gives them a good deal of their profits for the year. So I would just ask you, for all of us, keep the small area planning in mind that Greg just talked about, we get that meeting on the 22nd. But also keep in mind that the history of whether it originated here or not, the fact that you do have this plan that's going to revitalize Mount Pleasant Street, the mural that's coming, all of that can make a big difference in the life of this. So that was good.
Bill
Lopunto.
No, Claudia Schlossberg.
Just one thing I wanted to say. Bob Whiteout was from Assumi, and because he's been so sick, he is planning to seek a continuance so that we have more time to file it. Yes, I'm sorry. That's one thing. Secondly, I'll keep this offline.
Okay. Any other comments about the neighborhood?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I don't know, for those of you who have not checked this out, Heidi's restaurant has, because they are now allowed to have live music, has been hosting a lot of different music events. And I had the pleasure of being there a couple of nights last week. And then I heard about the Net Saturday night, which was a showcase for local singer-songwriters. And every night, and she's had a mariachi band there, every night it's been something else and sort of attracting new and different people. There were a couple of nights I was there, there was actually a lot of people waiting to get in.
Wow.
Like, you know, wow. Like at the Heights or something, like people were saying, how long till I get a table? Oh, 20 minutes. So it is really picked up for business, right, itself, and bringing in new people, and it's just a wonderful experience, even enough that over there, I really, and this is what we need to do for the other businesses as well, and not what we're fighting for our workers. So just wanted to share that with you. It really made me feel proud and good to be part of this community. So many people, so many different, you know, people coming together in a third space. It's really fun. Thank you.
Wayne Cullen.
And second, with Bob, is it was nice to see you packed for Friday night. As far as the festival, I would miss it. I understand the concerns, having been on the street when the parade is going on. It is almost a crush. And it's very restrictive. So it has gotten to be a very big festival. It has an issue with space. Mount Pleasant may not be able to accommodate it properly. And that's what maybe they're trying to address, and I would still hate to lose it. It supplanted the Mount Pleasant Festival because the Mount Pleasant Festival organizers ran out of gas. They just couldn't do it anymore. And the SWC basically stepped in and built it and grew it. If there was a way to make it, allow it to stay here, I would like to see it. I can see where other festivals have had to move because they just got too big. And there has to be some way to, as we've said, have an arm of it, have an arm of the event still stay in touch with this.
We're going around the room. I realize that I'm taking too much airtime by even saying people's names. Please speak up and say your own name. Both names.
things.
Alejandro, no, I just want to ask if you know if one of the associations is going to do something like planting something, make something more green in the area for now that is coming relevant time. To do it, I would love to introduce myself in that too. If one of you know something about that. I remember like 2 years ago they do everything outside. They didn't have enough promotion, so I want to.
Isn't Main Street doing the green, doing the tree boxes? I saw a volunteer call.
Yeah, there was a volunteer call. They did was trim back the variety, which is overgrown, and do a trimming of that and just in general thing with the tree boxes. The next project will be to mulch the tree box, which is good for the trees, and that is something that Main Street is doing. It will probably be in conjunction with the Business Association. And as you know, Main Street is organizing a green team this year, and it will have support from the Business Association, obviously, because it obviously clean the street, basic services, clean the street from trash, trying to clean those tree boxes clean, mulching the trees, and maybe removing some hazards. And I don't know if there will be some funding for some additional planting. There will be some planting. But certainly the mulch and also ice removal. If there are any ice storms, the green team will be working with the business to put down salt on ice. So that's just a little extra services that would be nice for us to do.
Gabriella Mossi, would you please? Also, in addition to answering the question, since you're already speaking, what are your ideas, questions, comments?
Thank you, Greg. I listened to all your comments. I would have to say I'm here. I work with the Business Association on a part-time basis. I'm also volunteer with Main Street. But the Business Association would be happy to hear all of your comments. Certainly, from the Business Association perspective, we'd like to say yes, we want to revitalize the corridor, participate in these meetings. I know it's very difficult for people. It's a little bit of meeting fatigue in the past month or so with the library and many other things. But the commercial corridor meeting, it's important for people to participate. Certainly, we want our members, Business Association members, to participate. It's sometimes they don't have a chance to come to these meetings, and we want everybody to participate. And I think in the end, everybody agrees. We want a more thriving commercial area. But again, I would like to remind everybody, please patronize your local businesses when you can. It's great that there are great commercial, great commercial on corporate side. And it's convenient sometimes, if you can, go to your local pharmacy, go to your local bodega if you can, and buy some produce there, whatever. And go to your local restaurants when you can. We would like to have better services in Mount Pleasant. We know that what we have to improve, we'd like to help them improve. Sometimes that takes money. It takes maybe some of your suggestions, some of our support. And then, of course, if we're out here, if this is a good area, other groups to some of those vacancies that we have. We have 5 vacancies right now, and we'd like to have those businessmen. And the economy is not helping, but I think this can get better. Get businessmen to think that this is a good area, and thanks to work that a lot of you have done in the past, that impression of Pleasant is changing. So it's a good place to do business. They're going to see me meet old people. They're going to see sidewalk cafes. That'll be good. So please do go and sit out there when the sidewalk cafe comes, and have they come out and want out to the restaurants and other places.
I believe there's someone immediately to your right.
Tony Grillo. Tony, you want to give
it? Oh. I don't have any.
Okay.
Thank you, Tony, for now we have 3 people that have not yet introduced themselves. So would you please give us your name and your ideas for Mount Pleasant?
My name is Vernon Dick. Vernon Dick.
Yes. We see you often, and the meetings have always been pleasant. Name and any comments, ideas? I think she knew this to be right.
Last but not least.
I'm all expensive administrator as part of that this nursing home. Mm-hmm. I don't have any comments yet.
Suggestions, ideas? Okay. Well, we have...
Spencer, we've done a project with his group last year, and I wanted to assure him that we're trying to get the frames and the mosaics we created for the... we had an intergenerational project with the folks that were at the center, and they worked with my younger students at City Arts, and the images of Mount Pleasant and their memories have all been made, but we're trying to figure out how to get them framed and out into the areas we talked about. So I just want to assure you that we're trying to figure out how to get these things framed properly so they can be placed along the outside building and the inside where the residents have their dinners.
Thank you. We have...
Greg, could I raise
11 minutes? Greg, last.
Could I bring up? Sure. I forgot. Just totally forgot this, but this is an important issue to bring up.
You have 11 minutes.
I won't use anything like that much.
What?
One of the problems.
John, did I miss you? I thought we.
We had.
Okay.
Okay. You didn't miss. Right. One of the problems that the businesses have is employee parking. I remember Todd Fiverr telling me one of the difficulties he had when he wanted to hire somebody. They want to know where they could park.
No place.
Well, before very long, there will be a provision for employee parking on the residential streets of Mount Pleasant, where you can purchase a permit and park on the streets west of 18th Street. My block. Where there is plenty of parking during the day. Not on 18th Street, you're safe, Claudia. But west of 18th Street, all the lots west of 18th Street, which are now, if you look at the RPP signs, they are labeled 1DD.
Uh-huh.
1D means it's valid for the visitor permit. 1DD means it's valid for the daytime pass for employees of Mount Pleasant Business Hall.
I hear those complaints all the time from Todd, but I've heard it from Summer Market and other convenience stores and places where employees have employees during the day where it is tough. They wanted to know if this visitor parking was going to apply to them, and I said, I'm sorry, this is for residents. So if that's possible, at least during the day for some of the businesses, well, there are spaces available, and they're not taking away from the residents.
Well, this is...
That would be helpful for some of the businesses.
Now, the idea is to make it possible for people, according to ordinary district law, commuters to Mount Pleasant cannot park in Mount Pleasant. There is no provision in the existing law for people to drive their cars to Mount Pleasant, park on the streets, and work in Mount Pleasant business or in Stoddard Baptist Home, which is why Bob Spencer is here. We'll get there. This is a cure to that problem because it allows you to park on streets which are known to have space available during the day.
Right.
Well, way on the west end. It will cost $160 for a quarter, which works out about $2.50 a day, because the idea was to make it comparable to bus fare, twice a day bus fare.
Would it buy the school?
Yes.
On businesses?
Yes.
So but somebody is going to have a maid come in or a tutor?
Well, we've already got that. The visitor permit covers that.
Okay.
You can use the visitor permit for household help, daycare, whatever. Now, this is for employees of businesses who need to park during the day, and this will allow them to park legally during the day on the west end of Mount Pleasant.
And that program should have your name on it.
Jack, does the 1DD designation mean that a visitor could park there with a thing in their dash or an employee?
That's correct. Correct both.
Okay. It's confusing signage we don't need.
We have.
This is an experiment. This is an innovation. This is called performance parking, and it's the first time it's been done in the district. And DDOT is very excited about it. They think it's going to be a model program for other parts of the city, which have a similar problem. They think that businesses and business employees, but there's no commercial parking. This will give them commercial, the equivalent of commercial parking, but for 2 hours a day.
Well,
it's
8 minutes until 9 o'clock. I think the audience is disappearing.
I drove them away.
Well, the primary reason that I suggested this meeting far away to start the discussion about special area plan, I don't think we have enough time or interest left to do with that. So we'll have to do it another time. We had 29 people. 29. I'm corrected here. 29 people. Pretty good.